Yes, it is Friday. No, wait, it's Thursday. Last week we did it on a Friday. Almost, yeah, it is Thursday. It is Niners UK Cowboys time. How are we doing, Jamie and Lorne?
Yeah, not bad despite the weather, but can't really complain, can we?
Yes, so far, believe it or not, there's nothing here, so I'm all right, but I expect that to change later on, so who knows?
Nice. Yeah, well, we are in the midst of the Super Bowl, which we'll talk about briefly. I know it's not Cowboys related, but it's the biggest game on the calendar, so we will touch on it. We'll touch on a bit of the news that's hit the Cowboys this week. But all right, let's start this show off where, you know, we'll get controversial straight away, guys, or into a debate, perhaps. And let us know as well at home, guys, the answer to this question. Guys, who wins the Super Bowl this weekend?
Oh, for me, I hope it's the Chiefs. You know, not just because of the obvious Dallas connection that, you know, they originally were the Dallas Texans back in the days of the AFL. But you've also got the Hunt family living in Dallas as well. So there's that tie-in as well. And then obviously, you quite like to see the 49ers lose. Especially, I mean, could you imagine if Shanahan has another second half failure where, you know, Kansas City come back or whatever, and you know, that would just be his legacy. So, but as long as it's a good game, that's the main thing. So,
yeah, Jamie.
Not gonna lie, I usually look forward to the Super Bowl, but this year I really don't care. I'm going to the casino in Leeds with some family and friends to watch it. And this year is more about the beer session, I'm not gonna lie. I wanted it to be the Ravens and the Lions. I think that would have been probably, I think it would have appealed to a wider audience. I think just because it's two completely different teams.
Yeah.
They're on different trajectories. I mean, they've been up and coming the last few years, which would have been good. And obviously there's the thing with the Niners and the Cowboys. I mean, long rivals. So it's like, really don't want the Niners to win, despite a lot of my friends saying, well, the ownership group of United don't really care about that. It's different sport, it's all that. And it's also don't really want the Chiefs to go back to back. So, yeah, as long as it's not a boring game, I guess it won't be too much. But yeah. I think my heart is saying Chiefs, my head's saying I just can't see them stopping the 49ers.
Here's my take on it, right? On one side, I don't want the 49ers to get to six first, right? So yeah. We've had two teams get to six already. We don't need a third. And we don't need that third one to be the Niners, who I would say the fans can be insufferable. I mean, we had quite a beasting off them on social media. Had some fairly... what's the word I'm looking for? Xenophobic comments. Should we say, not, you know, when you make comments and you're not from America on their team, they really don't like that. So that was an interesting week with them, that was for sure. but it's just like, they love to complain. They're doing it right now. They complain all the time. I know they're called the 40 whiners. They literally do whine about everything. They're complaining now about the surface of the playing field that they're practicing on.
Oh, I know. I mean, and you know, they're having to struggle through with it and all this sort of stuff. I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, they've had 2 weeks to go and investigate the field, you know, and everything. You know, send an advance party, sort all that stuff out. If you don't like the playing surface, then go somewhere else. You know, you've got guys who can set it up, and you know, they're just having to struggle through with it. And you know, they'll be saying all the refs are against them. You know, everybody in America is against them because you've got all the Swifties and all this sort of stuff. But,
You know, though, would it be controversial to say, not just like to say, because we're Cowboys fans, you obviously we don't want the Niners to get to six before we do, but does it sometimes feel that the Jags will probably win there first before we get to six?
Yeah, that would be.
I'll just off now. I'll go to bed.
No. I mean, no. Right, Jamie, we have gone through the fan rant show. We have released everything. Now we're being optimistic. Okay, the exhale has happened. Now it's the inhale. We're taking back in now. We're building up. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest, right? So, I mean, I'm going to a Super Bowl party Sunday, but I haven't booked, but usually I will book the Monday off, and I haven't. So, like, my plan is to stay for so long, and then I'm just going to call it a night. Mostly, I'm just going, you know, like you are, Jamie, for the togetherness, to be with everyone, with friends, and have a couple of years. But I mean, like, for myself, yeah, I mean, I'm doing much the same, except like halfway through the night, you think in the UK, the Super Bowl kickoff is around midnight or just before. So by the time the game, but you think by the time the game finishes with the halftime show that you get and everything as well, you know, you're looking like 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning when these things finish. So, I think once it gets to a certain time of the night, I'll be quietly meandering off, getting my head down. It'll be like the first time in a long time I've done that.
Even the halftime show, it's not even, well, to me anyway, it's not appealing. Like, I'm not a massive Usher fan, but like, over the last few years, there's been some really good ones, haven't there? Like The Weeknd, Rihanna. We obviously had the one with Dre, Eminem, Snoop Dogg. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that was a good one.
I just feel like it's come a little bit back. Like, it'd be a lot of people's cup of tea, but I'm just thinking it's like a matchup we didn't want, and it's just not even an interesting Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the other side of it, now, it really does not bother me, right? I don't see the issue. Like, on one side, there's the 49ers with, you know, getting to six before Dallas and all the rest of it. And then on the other side, people are complaining because they're like, oh, God, you know, the Chiefs, and they're tied with Taylor Swift. Like, doesn't bother me personally, but I can see how it winds people up. You know, that say you're on the opposite team and your team is losing, and then it's going to Taylor Swift who's dancing in a box. Like, you know, I could see how that winds you up. For me, it's not that much of an issue. But then what the narrative is going to be after the game, if the Chiefs lose, is just going to be, it's going to be very hard hitting with Taylor Swiftness.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is as well, the whole Taylor Swift thing has been blown out of proportion. If you saw somebody's actually gone and charted the amount of airtime she actually has, the number of times they cut to her and all that. And I mean, it's less than 90 seconds, even in the biggest game, even in the game that she was most featured, which was middle of the season. I think she was picked up 5 times and it was 1 minute, 45 seconds that they talked about her. You know, and to her, to be fair to her as well, I mean, when they cut to her a couple of times during the AFC Championship game, she was all, you know, she was actually telling the cameras to go away. So, you know, she's just wanting to be there for Travis. Fair enough. I certainly think if this had been some sort of publicity stunt between the two of them, or, you know, some sort of thing like that, then, you know, it'd be over with by now. You know, she's talking about making a 13-hour flight coming back from Tokyo to go to this game. You know, there must be something there between them, and, you know, it's only the press that are blowing it out of proportion. And if it's getting all these extra fans interested in the NFL, it's only going to be good for salary cap, because, you know, all these Swifties that have gone and bought T-shirts and everything like that, that all goes into the collective bargaining pot. You know, and it boosts the cap. So, you know, this is great for us, as far as I'm concerned.
I just think as well, it's that, and this is a global superstar, and he's obviously an NFL superstar, but it's like, strip that back, and they're just people. And I mean that in the great respect, in terms of the together. It's like they're in the public eye all the time. It's like let them have this part of their lives, not published all over the TV and whatnot. Yeah, you know what I mean, like, you know what I mean, I imagine obviously with their schedule, that, I mean, it's going to put a lot of stress on it anyway. You know what I mean, to get back and forth, it's like, just give them the privacy. Like, she's probably going to make the trip, but I think anybody would do that. And I'm not, again, not meaning in any disrespect. It's like, that's what you do for someone that you're in love with, and you go that extra mile. But like, just let them have this thing. Everybody gets to see every other part of their lives. Let them have some sort of frigging privacy. And if she wants to go to the Super Bowl, then fair play to her. I mean, if not, then you can understand why not. But yeah, just sometimes the press just intrude a little bit too much on people's lives, don't they, in that sense.
I'm with you. Yeah, that is true. So give me your predictions, guys, for this weekend. Who is winning Super Bowl MVP?
I said all along, I think it's going to be Christian McCaffrey.
Would be different.
I think if the Chiefs win, then it's got to be Mahomes. Mahomes is really, you know, statistically this is one of his worst seasons, but it's not his fault. It's his receivers are dropping balls.
Yeah.
You know, if unless somebody like Pacheco goes and runs all over this 49ers defense and scores 4 touchdowns or something like that, I think it's going to be Patrick Mahomes that will be the MVP.
I like that. All right, give me then, right, guys, both of you, give me one, like, a hot take. Like, something you feel could happen in this game that's completely wild, that people wouldn't predict would be in this game. I'll give you one. I'm going to say that Patrick Mahomes scores a touchdown off his own pass.
He's going to do one better than Lamar Jackson then.
Yeah. So that's my prediction, is there's going to be a weird play. There's going to be some funky play that happens that makes the door swing from one end to the other. But okay, give me your wild predictions, guys.
As soon as you mention it, Brock Purdy's going to throw 3 interceptions and the Niners are still going to win.
Oh, I like that. That would be very interesting. Yeah. And you know, it's not too far-fetched either, Jay.
I'll say Chris Jones has a scoop and score.
No, that would be wild with everything that's gone on with him in the off-season. With the talk and all that. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. Yeah. So, okay. So the Super Bowl, it is this Sunday. If you're watching it, being a Cowboys fan, we can understand if you don't. But it's the big game. It's always the big game. Vegas is looking certainly up to it. It's looking real good down there. Stadium's all lit up and ready to rock. The ball is all lit up with a Super Bowl on it, which looks really cool. I think really now it's set up for this weekend. I mean, put in the comments, guys, what you think the final score will be. Any predictions that you've got, put them in the comments.
Did I see right as well? Sorry, but did I see right as well? And the NFL Ireland guys out there as well at the minute.
NFL Ireland, there's a couple of guys I know from who are tied in with PFF. They're out there as well. So there's a lot going on. You've got Richard Graves with his Graves on Gridiron podcast, Cowboys fan himself. He's out there. So there's a big contingent out there. And, you know, obviously ITV have got Jason Anosi and Craig Doyle and all that. And you've got a fairly all-star cast on both. Well, certainly on the Sky broadcast, you've got Kevin Harlan's daughter getting involved as well with the Sky broadcast. So,
yeah. So, and you've got the usual as well. Jeff Reinbold's doing some stuff out there.
Yeah.
I've told him to go put $30 on red, and then if he wins, to get himself a large glass of red, and he'll send a picture if he does it. So, come on, get in there, mate. Go on. So he did like the shout. He was like, good call. So that'll be interesting if that pulls off. I'd be like, yay. I helped get him drunk responsibly. I bet he's being really super responsible with his red wine this weekend. Mm. You will not see a more responsible man with his red wine this weekend. Right. Okay, let's get into the news. Let's get into some Cowboys news then, guys. Let's get away from the Super Bowl for a bit. So we were speaking on Tuesday. We went through some coaching talk. This was pre-Rex Ryan. So give me your thoughts, guys. What do you feel on the Rex Ryan idea and how you feel this moves the needle on the all-in talk Jerry Jones said a few weeks back?
I think for me, it's certainly, you know, Isaiah Stanback spoke about it on Talking Cowboys this week that, you know, that was his pick. He got lambasted by the other guys for saying that. And then the next day it comes out that he was actually an interview. It's interesting considering how outspoken he's been about the Cowboys on all of his TV shows, etc. I mean, he was just as bad as Stephen A. Smith, I would say, in some of his takes. I think he's certainly better than Rob Ryan, who was our defensive coordinator all those years ago as well.
That was an interesting time.
Yeah, I like the take that Isaiah Stanback had, that, you know, his defense was one of the hardest when he was playing for the Patriots, that every time they had to face the Jets, the Jets defense came up with a new wrinkle and everything like that. And that's potentially what we're looking for. I think there's still other names to be thrown into the hat. I think I wouldn't be surprised if whoever comes out victorious from this weekend, there's maybe somebody that we're tapping to try and have a word with as well and try and pinch that, because obviously if it's the Chiefs, that's somebody who's got experience of beating a Shanahan offense. If it's one of the 49ers coaches, then again, that's somebody who's used to going up against Shanahan every week in practice. And I obviously has that understanding as well. So it certainly sounds to me as, you know, I know Jerry would love to be able to announce it on Saturday or Sunday morning or whatever, just before the Super Bowl kicks off. But I think I've heard that Goodall's put an embargo on things like that, that there's not to be any press conferences by any other team on the day of the Super Bowl. So there's no headline pinging there. So,
which we know Jerry likes to do.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, I put up a tweet out and it listed what it was like with Rex Ryan when he was defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. And you go back and you look at it, his defenses are like, you know, they're first. There's one year where I think the last year he was first in turnovers, second in points allowed, second in yards allowed best. You know, you go through it and you look at some of them and you go, wow, no, the resume is strong as defensive coordinator for Baltimore. You know, there's one year where their first, you know, they were the best defense in terms of yards allowed, best in terms of points allowed, and like second or third or fifth, perhaps, in turnovers. And you look at it, you go, it's strong. I think what the issue is, right, Jay, and tell me what you think on this, that everyone looks at Rex Ryan and goes, yeah, but he hasn't been in the league for several years now. And the last time he was in the league, he really didn't look great as a coach for the Jets. And my argument to that is twofold. It's one, he had to take on the Jets. You know, that's already, as we can see, a difficult task to take on. And obviously, we've mentioned it time and time before that some people are built to be head coaches and some are just built better. You know, I've got to eat my own words with it. They're built better to be offensive or defensive coordinators. They just seem to be better in that role. We're going to see this now with Dan Quinn, perhaps. But what's your feeling on Rex Ryan? What do you think, Jay?
I kind of understand it because a lot of the kind of the noise coming out was that Jerry wanted someone that's been a head coach to set that position. And I guess if that's no disrespect to anybody else, but I think if they're going to go all in, I think they're going to have to look at that kind of mold of a coach. Is it the right one? Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, yeah. But like I say, he's been out of the league for a while. The league's changed quite a bit since he was last in it. So I think there's probably better suited ones out there. And there's a few that I'm surprised still haven't got jobs. But I just don't think, personally, it would be the right move for the Cowboys. Like I say, just for the fact he's been out of the league for so long. Especially when there's guys like Vrabel still out there, and I mean, like, and I know there's been talks of Zimmer, and maybe would he probably be a better fit than Rex Ryan? But I say, it felt sometimes like I'm talking about his brother, but like, for me, he always seemed like stuck into ways like his brother was when he was the coordinator for us. It was just like felt very kind of Garrett. It was like there was a plan A, and that was kind of really it. There was nothing else. I think we need someone that's going to be a bit more broad-minded and a bit open to change when shit is the fans, sorry to use the term, when it comes to that and the defense isn't playing well.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you're talking of no planet. I mean, that's Dan Quinn, mind. You know, we just had that with Dan Quinn. In some respects, you know, he's very much like what he comes out with, he won't adjust to. So if you're saying you want somebody who will adjust during the game on the fly, so you're a front runner for Mike Zimmer then, are you?
I would prefer him over Rex Ryan, yeah, definitely. Like I say, I think it's been nice to be able to do that before. So the personnel there, could it be that might be a better suited fit for the Cowboys? But what do I know? It's just, yeah, like I say, we have our opinions there, I'm sure. And there'll be people chewing in Jerry's ear saying, this is a good move, this isn't a good move, or have you considered this guy? But it's just, I'd rather it get done quicker and then leave it and let it linger on. Like I say, let's just get this off. Like it always seems the same with the Cowboys. You know what I mean? Like, how many times do you see other teams in the spotlight for a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator's role being up on the team, and it's just like this merry-go-round of, well, this guy's now linked, this guy's now linked, they've been interviewed, this guy. It's like they other teams seem to be in the background and kind of just get it done, and the Cowboys just like to kind of sometimes feels like drag these things out and try to get in the spotlight as much as possible for any little thing.
It's very true. But I mean, like, look, sticking with the coaching thing, in some of the news we've had that came out actually today, is that the Commanders requested to interview Al Harris and London Wells, so the defensive back coach, tight end coach for the Dallas Cowboys. That was put to the kibosh straight away. The Cowboys rejected that. I think, though, this is speaking quite strongly of a plan with Dan Quinn, though. Is I think he's definitely looking at coaches he's dealt with already in the past and trying to fill the gaps. But also, I think it speaks toward an idea of, and it's going to sound wrong in what I'm saying, but I'll try and explain, is that rescue is what he's trying to do. So what he's playing the preface of is that Mike McCarthy is on a one-year deal. He's on the hot seat. He's likely to be out the door next season. If that happens, then we've got a whole new coaching staff coming in. These guys could be out the job. So, look, come over to the Commanders. We'll rescue you. That's what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. But they didn't allow it, which is quite interesting. I mean, do you guys have any take on this particular move?
I think the Cowboys are entirely right to keep both of the guys. I mean, we were questioning about bringing Lando Wells in, but I mean, if you saw the job he's done, not only with Dalton Schultz but Jake Ferguson,
there you go.
You still actually got something out of Schoonmaker last year. I expect him to make a leap this year. Similarly with Al Harris as well, we've got this defense. Whether you say it's the pressure that Dan Quinn created or not. But this defense has gone from a defense where cornerbacks were basically tackle the guy, don't go for the ball, just tackle the guy and limit the yardage given up, to go and get the ball. And we've had two guys in the last 3 years that have actually led the league in interceptions. I know Brian loves this player, but, you know, when Jeff Heath is leading the team with 3 interceptions in a season, that means your defense isn't turning the ball over. It's maybe forcing punts, but it's not actually creating a short field by turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. And sure, that leads to busted plays and what have you, but both Deron Bland and Diggs have actually come out and said that Al Harris is the reason why they are taking the league by storm. And similarly, Jake Ferguson's saying exactly the same thing about Linda Wells as well. So I think there's a reason why the Cowboys. And I mean, I think Al Harris, unless you bring in somebody who wants to go back to that sort of Rod Marinelli scheme, I think Al Harris is a great pick for stability within this team as well. So.
Good point, Jamie.
Yeah, no, I think Lorne hit the nail on the head. Like you say, you always look for your coaches to progress your players and bring them on. And you say, with Bland and Ferguson just naming one off either side of the ball, I mean, those guys stepped up massively this year. Even though it was impressive with Ferguson, I think the Bland was probably even more impressive just for the fact that we lost Diggs so early in the season. The defense was playing at an elite level, and it fell apart a little bit towards the end of the year. They were still playing at a high level. Like you're saying, you could even throw Gilmore in there as well. Gilmore had a decent season. I mean, it's like you say that didn't seem to be massively getting torched a lot. Turnovers were higher than they have been for the last few years. I think if you wanted to build a winning team and going all in, I think that also has to include on your coaching staff as well. You don't want too many turnovers. Like you say, naturally you're going to lose of one or two here and there, like you say, especially with how the teams are going, and especially with how Dan Quinn's been over the last few years. It was kind of inevitable he was going to, if McCarthy didn't go, he was going to go. Keeping kind of that core of the backroom staff, I think it's essential. And I mentioned it a few weeks ago, saying that maybe Al Harris could be a sneaky pick of the bunch that, that could get this, could get that offensive coordinator's job. You know what I mean? It's, all it takes is someone to get a, give him a chance, and you know what I mean? It's, when the players are speaking so highly of him, you know what I mean? They're not saying that just to front face and be, you know what I mean, and make it out as all hunky dory. You know what I mean? These guys are singing his praises. You know what I mean? He was a decent player in his time in the league, and it's, that seems to be transitioning to his coaching career as well at the minute.
I mean, look, you know, Trayvon Diggs came out weeks ago and they were talking about defensive coordinator, and straight away Diggs just came out and just like, Al Harris. Al Harris is the man. You know, that has to be said on something. I know that, and Diggs is saying it mostly because of the fact that that's the coach he's dealing with the most. So that's the guy he interacts with the most and sees the most and has helped him come along and got him these interceptions, which ended up getting him the contract that he's now on. But there is something to be said in it, because, I mean, you know, people are talking of Aiden Doody having requests to interview over the Seahawks. And nobody's talking much, although we know what Doody's like. There doesn't seem to be as much chatter with him as there has been when Al Harris comes up, you know, from their play side. I just find that quite interesting. There's quite a bit of a comparison there between the two. I don't know, though. Do we think Doody leaves? Do we think that's in waiting in the win?
I would hope not. Just going back to the opening part, is it maybe just because of the background that he kind of, he's come through the league? Like, it's been a different path to what Al Harris was. Obviously, Al Harris played in the NFL for a long time, and you know, whereas Aiden kind of had that different path to me. He came through and he worked his way up through the Cowboys. Do you know what I mean? After obviously the background he's had over this side of the pond. That's not taking away from anything that he's doing. Like I say, it's just everyone has a natural path into the league. And maybe just because obviously Al Harris was such a figure on the field, that kind of that might be why he's had a bit more of the attention compared to obviously to our guy from this side of the pond. But I hope he doesn't leave. But I think, you know, I mean, the defensive players speak highly of him as well.
They do. Yeah,
he's another one that needs to be kept up, and Jerry needs to be like stern and say, no, look, you can't have these guys. We want to keep this core together, because it's a relatively young core as well. So, I mean, it helps. I would imagine it'll help kind of the camaraderie between the players as well, because, I mean, it's a young core on that defense, isn't it? So, I mean, getting coaches along around that, not obviously the same age, but kind of in that similar way, they're all young and they're all hungry to make a name for themselves. Probably serve the Cowboys well going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I get your take now, Lon, but I was going to say, just the interjection before you started, Lon, is that I didn't, when I was saying it, wasn't meaning to say that the players don't ever talk about it today, but it just seems to be that the chatter is less than with Al. Yeah. They do always talk highly of him, and they have done through the season, but it just comes to this side of the season, seems to be a lot more of Al Harris than there is Doody. But go on, Lon. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, mate.
No, you're fine. I mean, Al Harris, I think, has actually come out and said that, and I think I mentioned this last Friday, is that he said he would rather stay as a position coach and actually teach the fundamentals, which, obviously, if you're a coordinator, you don't get to do that.
Yeah.
Aiden Doody, I mean, if he's not the selection as defensive coordinator, I think, you know, it's all up to how the new DC wants to run the defensive line. Mm-hmm. But Aiden Doody certainly has ties with Dallas. You know, Dallas gave him an internship, and then obviously he then went off and did the international player pathway. He was a director of that. And then went then, but he also has ties with Dan Quinn as well. So if the new defensive coordinator comes in and says, no, thanks for all your hard work, wouldn't be surprised if you see him end up with the Commanders as well. and until we actually get the top job on that defensive coordinator assigned, you won't, you know, there'll still be some sort of shuffling of the pack with the coaches itself. And you know, part of me wants to get it done as soon as possible because, you know, there's other teams that are still shuffling the pack as well. You know, and you want to get some of these choice candidates. You know, the one I'd love to see if Aidan Durdee does move on, then it's the Browns' defensive line coach. Bring him in because he's done a fantastic job up there as well. But again, that all depends on the style of the defense that you're bringing in as
exactly.
well.
So. Yeah. I think once you get your defensive coordinator in, from there it can filter out then on what your plan is with the positional coaches. Because, like you say, it's all about style, what it is you prioritize, where you feel certain coaches will be better to coach, what it is you're trying to implement. So it's a big part of it. I don't think Al Harris goes anywhere, because I think whoever's the defensive coordinator that comes in will already know how the players are acting positively to him, you know, what their feelings are towards. And you don't really want to, when you know that there's a strong bond there, you don't want to kind of upset the apple cart too much with those players, because then it puts you on the back foot to begin with from day one. So I think that would be the case. Durdee, though, I'm not sure. I don't know what goes on there. And, you know, the Seahawks make a lot of sense, I think, for him to go with what they're doing there and the defensive line and defensive players he will get there. And it fits him what he would do. So it could happen. And if it does, good luck to him. We'll have to see what goes on. It'd just be a shame to lose a guy like him, I think. And especially, you know, with the UK ties as well.
Yeah.
That would be a shame. But let's come to the player side then, right, guys? So I wanted to hit something because it coincides with the draft, with what we're talking about today, or what the draft show is supposed to be about, looking toward the draft. Something that's cropped up this week was the talk of Tyler Biadasz. Now, he is obviously out of contract or coming toward, if you like, whichever way you look at it. It sounds like the Cowboys are ready to move on from him. Like, they have made comments in the last week. Nothing like set in stone where they're just like, no, no, no. It's just kind of like just subtle words are coming through. If that's the case, we're thinking Tyron Smith, we're thinking Tyler Biadasz, Zach Martin coming towards, you know, closing out his career, because he's getting long in the tooth. Very shortly, he's getting long in the tooth. So does all of a sudden inside offensive line become more of a priority? Although it's not something you regularly look toward in the first round, but does that become a priority all of a sudden when we get to the draft if Biadasz is out the door?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, and yeah, I think we probably do move on from Tyler Biadasz, or you at least give him a chance to hit the open market. Tyler Biadasz, for me, you know, if you put him back in and took him back to the 1990s and, you know, put him in with Mark Stepnowski as a replacement to Mark Stepnowski, that would be the sort of guy that you'd be looking at. But in a league where, or certainly in a division where you've got big guys like Jalen Carter and all the Fletcher Cox and all that, Philadelphia stack up with, that's where he seems to have problems with. Now, he is, you know, by all accounts, if you hear what the players say, he's the enforcer. If anybody makes a cheap shot on a player, then, you know, Biadasz is the first in to pull things apart and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, one of the things he was good at was, you know, getting down the field, and the number of early on in the season, he certainly was there to scoop up a couple of balls that went and hit the ground.
The fumble recoveries.
He is a smart lad, and you get him out, if he can get out to the second level and take on linebackers, then great. You know, and he can do a job there. Again, perhaps in a Shanahan tree offense, then, you know, that's the sort of offensive lineman that you're looking for. You know, because if you go back to the years of Mike Shanahan in Denver or whatever as well, that's the sort of lineman that they were using, and you know their schemes are all set to use the mobility to the best bet. I just don't think he fits with our guys, and I think that, you know, I think we are going to be tearing down this offensive line.
Yeah, I think so too, Jay.
Yeah, to be fair, I was surprised when they originally made the move. When Travis Frederick retired, I think I kind of panicked because they'd not had a backup plan. I don't know if it caught him short. And then obviously he made the transition and moved into centre. He's not been awful, but I just think you can't go from having arguably the best centre in the league to then a kind of a plug and play guy, the guy, which was only a few weeks ago. I was saying, like, just give me a guy that's is a natural centre. Especially when you're in this hole of we're in win mode now. Don't get plug and play. Now, if you need a linebacker, go get a linebacker. Don't go get a safety who can play linebacker. And I think don't go get a guard that can play centre. Go get me a centre that can play centre and can play well. You know, like say, like long touch on like some of the players, especially, I mean, I know we don't like the Eagles, but I mean, they've for years have been dominant in that middle, and you need someone that can try and contain that, and he's just not been able to. So I think as much as left tackle, depending on what you do with Tyler Smith is, if you're going to keep him as guard, so then it makes left tackle probably a priority, but his centre may be a bigger priority than what left tackle would be. I think it could be in the consideration.
Yeah, you beat me to my next question, actually. Was going to be, so Tyler Smith, he's out the door. Let's say, for argument's sake, the Cowboys decide not to keep Tyron Smith. What now becomes priority between those two positions early in the draft?
I don't know what I want. Personally, I think I would say centre just for the fact.
That's what I would go with, yeah.
I say there's guys on there that can put a natural guards that can fit in there. We know Tyler Smith was naturally brought in to be the heir apparent at left tackle. So you could probably look at that and have another go at that and say, right, look, now we've got more opportunity to get him in there, a lot more, and play him there. So I would say, yeah, centre is probably the one, but then right, not far behind it is the left tackle spot.
Yeah, they're close to each other. Yeah. I mean, I always say, build an offense and a defense right down the middle. Like that should be your focus to begin with. So on offense, it's center, running back, quarterback. The other side, a defensive, pass rusher, linebacker, safety. That's how I always say it. Just go right down the middle to begin with and then work out, flare out from that. I don't know. But what are you thinking, Lon? Are you in agreement that center would become a priority over tackle?
Yeah, I am, because obviously where this offense failed last year is getting yards in between the guard and center, in those A and B gaps, you know, and especially as well. I mean, if somebody gets around the outside, then Dak Prescott's surely able to scamper. Again, it's as much the same as, you know, Jason Garrett always wanted to protect Tony Romo from the pressure up the middle, because Tony could get out and get outside and buy time and everything like that. And, you know, as long as you've not got both tackles holding at the same time, then, you know, it's easy for Dak to get out one way or the other. But if it's all coming straight up the middle, then, you know, that's difficult to react to. And again, as I say, we need to get the inside running game set up and going this season for us to take the next step as well in getting this offense up and running. So,
Yeah. I'm definitely with you on that. And then, like, for me as well, when you look at the inside offensive linemen, not so much center, I'm on about just like backup guards, there's a lot that we can do to do that, where Tyler Smith has got the flex, you attested to it earlier, Jay, that you can push him to tackle if this is what they decide to do. And, you know, if they decide to say, right, let's get our center this year, we'll fiddle about with that left guard position, we'll put Tyler Smith, we'll kick him out, and then next year we'll crook. Because I think, you know, like a guy like Hoffman, I think is a type of guy who isn't going to kill you. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be where he's a dominant guard over there, but he's a guy who's just, he's not going to end up killing your offense, which is really what all you're after at this stage. I don't know if that's your guys' opinion, but that's just how I feel in terms of the flex of the positions and what they already have.
Could you maybe reflect on what you said in terms of draft talk? That for me, looking at it straight out, this draft seems quite deep for centres this year.
Oh, yeah. No, it really
so then is. Would it then maybe, if you say if you're looking at saying another left tackle and a centre, that maybe it might suit more to go for your left, even though you say centre's probably the higher need of the two, that you mm-hmm. could probably get one of the better tackles in the spot we are in the draft, because you know you can get a really good centre that can come in and start.
I know what you're saying.
Third round, do you know what I mean? And yeah, play it that way rather than kind of reach for a centre and then you play catch up at tackle later on in the draft.
I know what you're saying, because you've got more option, more choice. Yeah, I mean, the thing is the tackle position is quite deep as well. There's a big drop-off between, like, say, the top sort of eight guys. There's a big drop-off between the top two guys. And then beyond that, then there's top eight guys. Then there's a bit of a drop. Then it kind of goes into quite clustered, tiers, if you like, between them. The centers, it's because there's so many of them, it's a little more subtle. And I've said that offensive guard this year is a little, you've got some nice guys at the top. Then there's a huge drop off. But I've always said that if that's the case and you have a lot of centers and the Cowboys decide to go down guard, well, you could theoretically just take one of these centers that you've got a lot of if he's higher on your board and just kick him to guard. Because I always feel the techniques and how to play center and guard, there isn't that much of a transition. You're going from guard to tackle or back the other way is huge. There's a big difference there. But I just feel the center to guard, that way around. Guard to center, I would say, is slightly different again. But going from center to guard, because really, a guard is essentially, in a lot of ways, in terms of technique, all a guard is doing is exactly the same as a centre, except just not snapping the ball.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel on it. But let's get on to the last subject then, guys. And it's quite important. And the subject is on our backup quarterback. So, obviously, I don't think Cooper Rush is coming back. So that leaves us with our fourth-round guy from San Francisco 49ers. The question that I want to ask you guys and everybody at home as well, would you be willing in this quarterback draft class to try and trade? So trade him away for a day three pick. I don't think we'll get a fourth round back for him, but try and get a later day three pick. Use that then to use that to pick up a different quarterback, because is Trey Lance the guys for you to play backup quarterback? Or if he's not, we have to think about trying to trade him. What do you guys think?
I don't think you trade him until training camp, if anything. If he shines in preseason, and you know, obviously a team goes down there and loses their starting quarterback in preseason, you know, then there's an option there. Again, you know, I would feel potentially better, you know, with Trey Lance than I would Cooper Rush if you were talking about Dak Prescott going down for the season. Because just because Trey Lance is a mobile quarterback, much more mobile than Cooper Rush is.
Oh, Dak.
Now, I've certainly seen, obviously, there's news articles saying that a lot of people are saying that Trey Lance is a bust for us. It was a wasted trade and all that.
I felt that.
Just because, you know, again, everybody's referencing the fact that, you know, he didn't get on the field. But unless the coaches were suddenly going to have pure confidence in him, there was no way he was going to get on the field, because as that emergency quarterback, the only way he was going to get on the field was to have both Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott go down and, you know, bring him on the field. And then, you know, and you're talking that it's got to be, he goes down completely from the game, because, as you know, if somebody, while he's in the blue tent, he then gets told that he clear again, then, you know, Trey Lance gets relegated again, and whoever it is goes back in. But you've seen, we were talking to the guy in Dallas, True Life, Craig,
and, the quarterback, you know, coach.
Quarterback coach, off-season out-of-team quarterback coach. And he's certainly been working on the footsteps with him. You know, again, he's relatively inexperienced coming out of college. He's at least played a good season with the 49ers as well. Wasn't terrible for the 49ers. Obviously had that gruesome leg injury. You know, that's now he's had a full year to recuperate from that as well. So, or 2 years to recuperate from that. I just think it's too early to be casting them off just now. Otherwise, you will get, you know, people saying that it's a laughing stock.
There is that. The narrative it creates. That's a good point. Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, it all depends who comes calling at draft time and or at any point in the off season. You know, Jerry's always liked to do a deal. He's tempered that in recent years. But you know, if we're talking about being all in, will we be back to seeing Trader Jerry in the draft? You know, and you know, we're up, you know, we're going, oh wait a minute, we've got the 24th pick, no, we've got the 30th pick, no, we're up to 28 again or whatever. So
Jay, I mean, what's your thoughts, Jay, on the idea of shipping off Trey Lance for the draft? I mean, you know, Lorne saying, no, don't do that. Wait for training camp and decide. I'm saying try and see what you can get for him, because I was very vocal from the start that I felt that trade was a wasted trade. Mm-hmm. Like, this is before the riot, but I mean, we're talking pre-season when I was making these comments, or when the trade happened. Because that fourth round pick is being for the Dallas Cowboys. You look at the sort of players that they've had in the past from their fourth round pick. You know, we've got Damone Clark, who is essentially at the moment the only linebacker on the Cowboys roster that's healthy, that, you know, we expect to play at the start of the season. I know there was Jabril Cox, Dak Prescott was a fourth round pick. You look at the fourth round pick that the Cowboys make, they've always been fairly successful. You know, I know I just mentioned Jabril Cox and people are like, well, you know, on the surface of it, when it started, it looked good, and it kind of got there. Then Jabril Cox got the injury, and off we went, and away that went. You know, we got overshown. There's another example there. Hold on. Yeah, he was a fourth-round pick, wasn't he? He was last year's fourth-round pick. Yep. Yeah, that's fine. Yep. But tell me what you think, Jay. What should the Cowboys do with Trey Lance, and are you happy to keep hold of him for now?
Long and short of it, probably, I can't see the Cowboys doing anything. Like you said, Jerry made his trade. Jerry likes to gamble on the quarterbacks, like that he's apparently he fell in love with him in the draft, didn't he? And
yeah,
and there was talks that if he would have tumbled in the draft, that the Cowboys would have tried to take a pop at and get him. But then on the other hand, what are you thinking of, kind of flipping it back as well? What are you potentially intending on using that pick on? Are you going to draft a quarterback? Are you going to use it for another position and go get a veteran to sit behind Dak? So I think it all depends on that. If you're going to use the pick and draft a quarterback that's essentially not going to sit, not going to see any playing time, then what's the point in making the trading him? Because essentially you're going like for like, aren't you? I know I'm trying to say he's a rookie, but you might as well keep what you've got, knowing he's had some, if not great, time on the field, and seeing that way, and maybe going and using that fourth rounder for maybe a linebacker, or even addressing the offensive line that's probably more of a need than a quarterback. I think, like I said, depending on how you want to flip that pick, if you do make it.
Yeah, you all good, Jay?
Yeah. I thought it was you.
No. And just for a correction, Overshown was our third round pick. Yeah, so thank you, Lauren, on the quick change there. Fehoko, not Simi, but Vilami Fehoko was their fourth round pick. But, you know, I still stick by that. I think, you know, which name he goes by, Junior. I think, well, come on, you give him a chance. Defensive line again, you know, you give him some time. But I think, you know, that will be something that comes along. But put in the comments, guys, whether you're watching the show live or after we've gone live, what you feel the Cowboys should do with Trey Lance and what their options should be. Maybe perhaps, like, as we've had one comment from Joe, that he believes he could be the starter. I don't see that myself, but, you know, never say never is what I would say. But that is this week's show, where we've touched on a few things there. As I say, Super Bowl this weekend. So if you are watching this show after the show has gone live, put in the comments what your plans are, or speak to us on the group or on Twitter. Let us know what you're doing. But before we get out of here, guys, Jamie, hit me with the bill payment.
Yeah, if you plan on going to watch the Cowboys in 2024, make sure you hit up our sponsors, Cowboys Experience, for the ultimate Cowboys Experience game ticket, stadium tours, meet and greets. Such a great experience. A lot of people in the group do it. The group tour, we went there last year for the Thanksgiving game and had an absolutely unbelievable time. Meet some amazing people, plus former players, current players, and you definitely won't regret it if you want the top experience. So when you're going to book, use the promo code of UK Cowboys and you will get what, guys?
Free
stuff.
That's right. So, yes, make sure you just tell them that we sent you after the Super Bowl as well. So you're looking at some point next week, there will be an announcement coming from us about a certain travel package. So that news will break. Keep an eye out on that, because it's all coming out. Oh, yeah, it's going to be bigger and better and brighter than last time. But, yes, have a great weekend, guys. Have a great Super Bowl if you are staying up to watch it. If you are, make sure to interact with us on social media. But that is it for us this week. We will be back on Tuesday looking at another group of prospects in this year's draft. It's going to be the linebacker position, so off-ball linebackers more specifically. That is at 9 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Central. Make sure you join us. Give us your thoughts and opinions, who the Cowboys should draft from the linebacker position. But I started this show with the first word, so these guys get to finish the show off with the last word. Have a great weekend. Have a great Super Bowl Sunday. We'll see you on Tuesday, guys. Stay safe.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And NFL Hall of Fame voters, please, 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 Darren Goodson needs to be in.
Yeah, totally agree with what Lauren just said there. Get him in. It's about long overdue, but yes, another Super Bowl year without the Cowboys there, but enjoy what you're doing, guys, and good luck. For, I suppose the best thing to say is good luck to our friends at the UK Niners and the UK Chiefs.
Beautiful.